Now, my pleasure to ask Lou to step forward and to give us those words of introduction.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for inviting us to be with you today. I think it's right, isn't it, that my dad spoke a couple of weeks ago, who's Simon Thompson from Wombourne, and my granddad's probably spoken here before as well, so being a third generation, I thought was quite sweet. So, out of the three readings that there was today, the one that really stood out to me, the one I got most excited about, was the Isaiah reading. And before we go into it, I really want to look at some context behind it. So if you wouldn't mind, please turn to 2 Chronicles and chapter 36. So 2 Chronicles and chapter 26. Now, from what I can understand from our Isaiah reading, is that the king who is in control at the time, who the actual prophecy was written for, was King Uzziah. King Uzziah, as we can see in this 26th chapter, starts really, really well. Probably when he was 15, 14, 13 years old, he was probably in a situation where he was seeing around him his country being destroyed by the northern territories of Israel. This wasn't nice. His father was assassinated, and he was made to be king at the age of 16 years old. 16. Yet from after that, when we see verse 1, he was 16 years old, we see this snowball effect. We see this effect where suddenly construction work is going in real key areas. This king is winning tactical battles against people like the Philistines in key areas. Let's have a look. In verse 6, we see, now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. So we can see clearly that this person followed after God. And there's even a verse in there as well that mentions Zechariah the prophet, who says to the king, you know, if you follow God, things are going to go well. And so that happens. But it's so sad to see that King Uzziah is one of these examples in Scripture where he starts really, really well and suddenly something changes. We read in verse 10 of this chapter. In verse 16 first it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up, which basically means he became proud, to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. And it goes on to give details to exactly what he's doing. I said it is that that's the case. But look at verse 10 as well. Also, he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. And we can see from that verse there exactly what the problem was for King Uzziah. What his love really was, it wasn't so much God, it was soil. And I don't think it was particularly soil itself, I think it was what he could do with it. You know, the process of creating wine and all the other activities as well. So it's interesting, isn't it, when we read Isaiah 5 earlier, what it was all about. I think from the context we can take two things away from it. Number one, it is fascinating that Isaiah picks out on this idea of writing, well, singing, we actually see in verse 1 that it was a song, about vine dressers, about the process of making wine, because it was something that related totally to the king. I don't know if you looked at the Acts reading last week, but it was all about Paul's dealings with the Ephesians, wasn't it? And if you look at the letter to the Ephesians, one of the chapters that's in there, it talks about the armour of God. Now, why is that important? Well, Ephesus was such a big city, there was so much business that was going on there, that the Romans had a high interest in the area. And so they sent lots of soldiers there. And so you could imagine, as a visual image for the brothers and sisters in Ephesus, Seeing a soldier, the first thing that would come into their mind, the armour of God. We need the armour of God. We need protection from the influences that come into our lives, just like the soldiers have their armour. And you think about the Lord Jesus Christ with his dealings with Peter. He'll become a fisher of men. You think about the miracle of the fishes as well, where there were so many fish that the boat began to sink. And it made me think, it's just a small point in terms of when we're preparing to communicate with others. Maybe, just maybe, we need to really think about the way we're going to talk to them. We think about them as an individual, perhaps interests that they have, or things that would affect them. And so whether it's a conversation where it's going to be an awkward one because they've upset you or they've done something wrong, or whether it's looking to try and get encourage that person to do something well, maybe just think about it. And the second thing that I think really comes out of that context in 2 Chronicles 26 is worldly influences and how they affected the king here. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes we can read over this and everything seems really, really well at the start of the chapter, and then we come to verse 16 where it says that Uzziah was doing the wrong thing, and we think that that was just an automatic change. That one day he just woke up and suddenly he thought to himself, you know what, I'm not going to follow God anymore. I'm going to go in this completely different direction. But we know from our own lives, from our own experiences, we know that's not the case. That it's a slow process. That when we're influenced, when we're manipulated to follow after the thing of the world, that it's not something that happens straight away. It's something that's slow. And whenever I think of trying to stop worldly influences from coming in and attacking us and changing us as people, I don't know about you, but one thing that always comes into my mind is the book of Nehemiah. If you've not studied it before, I recommend that you do, because it's so exciting. Because what that story is about Nehemiah, who's somebody who's in a completely different city, but he's a Jew. Hears about the fact that Jerusalem's walls have fallen down. And they're so, the walls have fallen down so the enemies can come and attack them and can come and kill them at any point. And so the whole chapter is about Nehemiah rebuilding these walls. And there's this incredible metaphor in there, which you can relate to our lives, which is about the rebuilding of the walls to protect the ecclesia and stopping the world from coming into our ecclesia and our lives. Let's think about that in terms of when we're looking at Uzziah here. Because his love for the soil and, you know, vine dressers in the mountains and farm work that would have gone on as well, this is something slow. And as he got stronger, as God worked with him to win more wars and more areas, and he built more cities, and more construction work would have gone on constantly. This would have been a slow process where he got to a certain point where he was too far away from God. Just a small, I think is a wonderful gem when I was told about this in Nehemiah, was that, you know what, the first thing they rebuilt in Nehemiah's time, it was the sheep gate. And you think about that in terms of our ecclesial life. The first thing we start with and the last thing that we end with when we're making a decision, which is to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Okay, well, we haven't actually got to Isaiah 5 yet, so if you wouldn't mind, please turn there. So we're looking at Isaiah and chapter 5, and we're going to come in at verse 1. Okay. Interesting, isn't it? Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. So we can see here that this is actually a song, which I think is fascinating. And from what I've understood from the study into this, that there's quite a lot of chapters that's a song from Isaiah, which I think is wonderful. Verse 2, oh well, my beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. And verse 2, he dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in the midst and also made a winepress in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. In terms of who the who's in this chapter, well beloved, if you don't know, is often a way to describe God in the Songs of Solomon. And it uses well beloved quite a lot of the time. In terms of who this vineyard is, well, we see in verse 7 that that's for the vineyard, if the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. So we can see clearly that this chapter, what it's about God's relationship with his people. He dug it up and cleared out its stones, planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst. And it's a, you know, we're talking about visual images here. This is something that I think is quite exciting, because it's really describing how God looks at us. Second part of that verse 2, so he expected it to bring forth good grapes. I think in other version it says looks or looking. In mine it says expected, but I think it says looking in the King James Version. I might be wrong. If I am, just tell me later. But the root word for that in the Hebrew is kavod. And what that is hope. And I think we can take a lot of encouragement from that. You know, we have this idea that God's in his tower here, looking down at his people, looking, I'm adding patient here because we know God's a patient God, but patiently and hoping that his people bring forth good fruits and not bad fruits. I think that's really nice to think about in terms of how God looks to us. He's hoping that we bring forth good fruits. If you're interested in the intricate details in terms of who all these characters are and what each item represents or means, for you to write down, Psalm 80 is one that describes, for example, what the stones are in this chapter. But I think we'll stop at that for now. And we know from what we read in chapter 5 that the rest of it's really about the destruction of Israel, which was, of course, completed in AD 70. And this isn't the only chapter that's all about Uzziah, about talking about what's going on in the country at this time. If you wouldn't mind, turn back to the chapter 1 of Isaiah, because we see there if I can turn the page. There we go. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 11, again this is to King Uzziah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. Verse 13. Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. It's interesting, isn't it? I wonder if we could time travel. Let's just say for argument we could time travel. And we went back to the time of King Uzziah. And we were walking around Judea at that time, and the things we would have seen construction work. Right, so this is an area that's really growing. We would have seen all the sacrifices that were going on. And we would have thought to ourselves, wow, this is a good part of the history of Judah here. I wonder if we would have seen all these things happening. We would have talked to perhaps some of the locals in a town centre or the city. And they said, yeah, we've won lots of wars against the Philistines recently. Things are going really well. And I wonder if we didn't have the context of what Isaiah is saying here, whether we thought, wow, this is going back to the times of David and Solomon. Really good times in the history of Israel. But without the context of this chapter, we would have seen that, really, it was all rubbish. Isaiah chapter 58 is another example of that. It's a different king, a different time, but it's a very similar situation. Isaiah chapter 58. Cry aloud, verse 1, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. So you can see clear this chapter is about your sinning. But verse 3 is the one that explains what I'm trying to say, which is, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labourers. And so it's clear that this was all about them. And when I really thought about that, and I thought and tried to reflect on that in terms of my own life, I thought about when I'm preparing to be here on a Sunday, preparing for a Bible class. I thought, where's my frame of mind? What am I thinking about? I asked myself the question, has there potentially been a time where I've got up in the morning on a Sunday, got ready, gone to the meeting, because that's what I always do, because that's what we do? I had to ask myself the question, have I ever fallen into the trap of just being in the motion of getting ready and just going, because that's what we do? I even have to ask myself the question, have I ever done it maybe? Because if I didn't go, I would be more embarrassed because it would look wrong that I wasn't there. And so yes, the time of King Uzziah was a troublesome time. But can we at all, even a tiny bit, relate it to ourselves? Now, that does come across a little bleak, and it does come across a bit depressing, and I guess in a certain way it should do. But there is some encouragement that we can take from it as well. Because in Isaiah chapter 5 it starts with a song, but the song doesn't finish in chapter 5, can you believe? Turn with me to Isaiah and chapter 27. So Isaiah chapter 27, in that day, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. So we can see clearly from this chapter, it's all about the destruction of sin. Verse 2. In that day, sing to her, a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, keep it. I water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let them take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. And he shall make peace with me. And look at verse 6. Those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. And so, if there's something, we've talked about quite a lot of different things, haven't we? That we need to rebuild our walls. We've talked about lots. If there's a visual image that we need in our head, it's this wonderful one in chapter 27. That image of the kingdom. That it should be in the forefront of our minds. That the whole world will be filled with good fruits. And so to take some reflection on our time together this morning. First of all, I hope that you take a lot of encouragement from the way that God looks to us. If you can remember in Isaiah chapter 5, and in that verse 2, it said that God looks. And we found out that word actually means hope. Well, it means hope. And so God hopes and looks to us that we may bring forth good fruits. I hope in the week ahead that something else that you take with you is that you're just a tiny bit more mindful of the worldly influences that can manipulate us. That you build your walls, and ways of doing that, of course, is reading, coming to the meetings, etc. And finally, I encourage you from time to time just to take that step back and really think about exactly the reasons why we come here on a Sunday. Of course, we know when we're here, but I'm talking about the preparation to be here. And so a pessimist may turn around and say, well, it's been great that we've looked at Isaiah and we've looked at the context in 2 Chronicles, but all this is about the Old Testament. That's all to do with Israel. Well, turn with me, if you would, for the final time to John and chapter 15. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And it's because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that us Gentile people can have a chance of redemption. Thank you.